WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Southern California's newest wildfire in the mountains north of Santa Clarita has grown to more than 5,000 acres in just a few hours, thanks to strong winds. This girl's school was evacuated.
Everyone started freaking out.
CBS News Los Angeles reporter Amanda Starantino says 19,000 people near Castaic Lake are under mandatory evacuation orders.
The smoke is blowing towards those neighborhoods. So right now the fire is burning through a lot of vegetation and brush right next to the lake. It is very, very dry over there. But the concern is there's a lot of homes in this area in the direction the wind is blowing.
Rain is possible in Southern California this weekend. CBS's Matt Piper has the results of a new poll on the fires and the relief effort.
The CBS News YouGov poll finds 86% of Americans think Congress should authorize disaster relief. Broken down by party, 79% of Republicans say yes, while 21% say no. 95% of Democrats say yes to disaster relief, up against 5% who say no.
The snowstorm that turned much of the Deep South into a winter wonderland has moved offshore, but CBS's Jim Krasula reports the recovery will take a while, with temperatures still in the 30s.
Some 20 vehicles were involved in a wreck on slippery roads in Stonecrest, Georgia, east of Atlanta. This man lives in Griffin, Georgia.
I ain't never expected for it to be this much snow at one time, like 3 inches. Like, we don't normally get that down here.
A 100-mile section of snow-covered Interstate 10 is closed in Louisiana.
Thousands more flights were delayed or canceled today. One girl was killed in a shooting at a Nashville high school today. The shooter, a 17-year-old boy, then turned the gun on himself. Police Chief John Drake says a second girl was grazed by a bullet but should be okay.
Our SWAT team began systematic searches throughout the entire school to make sure there weren't any more victims or shooters within the school. We did not find any more.
CBS's Natalie Brand reports border agents have been given some new orders.
As the Trump administration begins a major crackdown on illegal immigration, CBS News has learned U.S. border agents have been told to deport migrants crossing into the country illegally without allowing them to request asylum. While the Biden administration enacted its own asylum restrictions last June, migrants could still plead their case if they expressed fear of being harmed once deported.
Trump has signed an executive order to send another 1,500 active duty troops to the southern border to help with logistics. CBS News has obtained an internal government memo that says Trump is considering deploying 10,000 troops to the border and setting up bases where migrants would be held as they await deportation. Another day in the green for Wall Street today. The S&P flirted with a record. It was up 37 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Wisconsin is joining a lawsuit challenging one of President Trump's many new executive orders, specifically the one that says the federal government will not recognize children born in America to parents who are here illegally as citizens. Savannah Tomei-Olsen reports.
President Donald Trump signed a flurry of executive orders on his first day in office, many of them focused on immigration. One of them says the federal government will no longer consider kids born on American soil citizens if their parents are here illegally. That order stands contrary to the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, which was ratified in 1868 after the Civil War. It says all people born or naturalized in the U.S. are citizens. Now 20 states are filing a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in Massachusetts. Governor Tony Evers called Trump's order egregious and wrongheaded and said Wisconsin is joining the lawsuit to protect Americans' rights guaranteed in the Constitution. Attorney General Josh Call says the Constitution, federal law, and previous Supreme Court rulings are clear. People born here are citizens. America is one of at least 30 nations with birthright citizenship.
And the Wausau Police Department has been receiving concerns from people about their immigration status. The order means the government will enforce stricter border policies while ramping up deportations. However, the Wausau American Hispanic Association tells News 7 that there's no need to fear. But for those of you who have that fear regardless, there are resources out there to help you with the citizenship process. If you do get detained by immigration, make sure that you know your alien number provided to you by the Department of Homeland Security. And Governor Tony Evers will give the annual State of the State address tonight. Tune in to WXCO for special coverage of the speech, the Republican legislative response, and analysis you won't find anywhere else. For special live coverage of the 2025 State of the State address starting just before 7, and you can find it on the Civic Media app.
I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th president of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It is a Wednesday night, winter-like Wednesday night for once here, with those snow-falling, chilly temperatures, but it is feeling like winter high school sports. Normally, I'm very fortunate to have Jeff Gress across the way, but he's also a teacher over at Newman Catholic, and sometimes have to have some work get in the way, and I'm very fortunate when I do need a special guest co-host. He's been very good with his time, the head hockey coach at Wausau West High School, B.J. Brandt. And B.J., glad to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Chad. You know me, I love coming on and talking hockey, even though we'll sprinkle in a little basketball, too.
Yeah, tonight we'll have a little bit of basketball, but we're going to spend a lot of time talking hockey, because as we finished up last time around, at the end, it said, hey, there was a lot of stuff we never really got to last time around, and this week you've been making the media rounds, and I said it to you last night. Last night, I get onto YouTube, and all of a sudden it gives me suggestions, and there I see your name on the Wisconsin Prep Hockey Podcast, and I tune in, and there were, as you said, some good questions, and I thought some interesting answers that I want to kind of delve a little deeper into this evening as well. But we also do have a pair of special guests, and tonight we are flipping the coach and the player guest around because of practice schedules. Normally we have our coach guest in the first hour and then our player guest in the second hour. But here tonight, in the first hour, coming up in about 15 to 17 minutes or so, we'll have our student athlete guest for this week from DC Everest High School, their outstanding junior goaltender, Griffin Bunnell. And he's helped the Evergreens to a terrific start so far this season. And they're on a win streak as well. And they're right there in the mix in the Wisconsin Valley Conference in hockey. So Griffin Bunnell joining us at approximately 6:25 tonight. And then coming up in the second hour, it'll be my Wausau West Winter Coaches Night here. And fortunately, both the boys hockey and the boys basketball teams are both doing very well so far this year. And we'll talk to the head boys basketball coach at Wausau West. We'll be talking to Nate Lemons coming up at 7:25 this evening as well. So we have our guests, and we'll have plenty of talk about high school sports here for the next 2 hours on the Big High School Sports Show. I know that a lot of folks want to hear about tomorrow night's game. We're going to save it because I want to hold the audience. Because if they tuned in to want to hear your breakdown on tomorrow night's Wausau West Stevens Point game, we're going to make them hang around for a while because I don't want to go right into that. Because there is a lot of other stuff to talk about. Let's talk generally since the last time we saw, because we saw you early in the season. And since then, I know you don't keep track of win streaks or the way that your team has been going. At least that's what you said last night. You said somebody tells you about win streaks. Who tells you about win streaks?
You usually do, and a couple other people do. And I don't find a ton of merit in it. So it's what's, you know, to quote Kevin Grundy, it's good to look out the windshield sometime and just keep looking about what's ahead. And that's kind of the message we had today at practice with the guys is, you know, obviously we know what's in front of us right now for tomorrow, but, you know, what we've done in the past has got us to this point, and hopefully we can continue to grow on
it. It's actually a wonderful way to think because, I mean, if you don't know what the win streak is, as you said, it's done. It's in the past. You have to take care of business the next time around. But I will let the people know that basically you have a 7-game win streak. You've won 10 of your last 11, and I think that's around the same time that you were last with us. What has been the keys to a successful run? You had were you here before the Marathon Cup? Or was it Marathon Cup week?
Okay, because we had Tyler Barnes on right before we played Mosinee in the Marathon Cup.
So you had the Marathon Cup, and then you were able to beat Mosinee and Everest, both in pretty tight games, and then get some time off after the third round game against EMU, then have the tournament in Green Bay, and then some more time off before getting back into action. You've been getting better. I think, again, the Marathon Cup games were not dominant. The Green Bay games, you had perhaps one you'd like to have back against Springs, but then played two really good games, and then since then really have been building block by block. And I've said that to you. It's been a building process. What has been some of the keys for this team in terms of being consistently able to win hockey games?
Well, I think it started with the Fondy Springs game. I mean, obviously that's the last time we've lost, but when you look at you know, the streak, as I've got it up on the page right now, we had a very honest film session after the Fondy Springs game, and we sat in the lobby and watched the good, the bad, and the ugly all together, and we let the players talk and the coaches talked, and sometimes as a coach, you have a routine and you get into that routine from year to year and you have the things that you want to do. But the reality of it is our job is to make sure that the players are doing their best. And what we were doing wasn't not working. It just wasn't working the way that we wanted it to. And part of this group was to give them some ownership of it. And we were able to take some of our, you know, as coaches, some of the things that we would do for them, we gave it to them to do, and the responsibility to in game preparation, the responsibility to make sure that we understand what the opponent's going to do against us, and I think the guys have invested in that a little bit, and that little bit of knowledge has paid off for them. And I hope that obviously it's a change that we made as coaches. I think they recognize it a little bit and the ownership that goes with it, and it's certainly changed the way that we prepare and play the game.
I got to ask you about the one of the changes that occurred after the Springs game that was noticed when you played Notre Dame Academy and started this stretch. Your guy started sitting on the bench. And again, it's just one of those things where you notice something different. And you see so many of the teams standing on the bench and they're, you know, into it and pounding on the boards and all that. And then after the Springs game, the next day, we come out there and... I told you, one of the parents came by in the first intermission and said, well, maybe I knew something about it. Said, why are they sitting on the bench? I said, well, I'm not really too sure. I had mentioned that I noticed that the Detroit Catholic team that was part of that event all sat on the bench, but it was not that. What happened in terms of that little change, and is there any correlation with the way the team played since then?
Well, I mean, from an outsider in, I think you'd attribute something to it. The guys, again, when you as a coach, you got to go with what buttons you're pushing with the guys to make sure that they're prepared and to make sure that they're playing well. And they said, "Coach, we're going to sit this game." And I said to them, I said, "I'll be honest," and this is to the leadership group. I just said, "I'm not a fan of it, but if this is what you guys want, go do it." Because historically, when we've sat, we didn't have the energy. We didn't have the in the game. We didn't have that.
You put your legs up.
Yeah. I mean, I worried about that
right.
Because it was something new. But the reality was it made our line changes better. The guys knew what, you know, it was easier to communicate and talk to them because they were engaged in the game, but also could have an ear towards the coaches. I can't, the line changes itself have been phenomenal. I mean, the guys know there's a space. We'd always struggle with when you're going off the ice, where in the bench do you go? Because they jump the boards. We don't open the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cleared that up. So our line changes have been cleaner. They've been able to communicate effectively. And it stinks. Like when we were in Chippewa, we as coaches, we couldn't see because there was a little platform that you were down beneath. So you had the guys sitting, basically your eye levels with the guys when they're sitting.
Sure.
So four of the six goals we scored that night, I didn't see. And as a coach, sometimes that's hard, but somebody saw it, right? So then, again, it gets you engaged. You're talking about the game. Hey, what happened there? Who did what? What's this look like? So I think it's allowed us to be a little more focused and pointed with what we're doing on the bench. And whether or not it has anything to do with the win streak, it's probably open for debate, but I like the focus that we have mentally when we're in that state.
As you look at the Wisconsin Valley Conference, and again, we'll talk about the game tomorrow, but Stephen's point's been consistently excellent all season long. Your team has been on a very significant roll now for a number of games. DC Everest is on, and we'll hear from Griffin Bunnell about in a few minutes about how their team is playing. Even EMU's won a lot more games this season than they have in the past. And I mean, when you went to Wisconsin Rapids, it was definitely not an easy game. What's your take as the season has progressed in your conference?
Well, I think the teams are better. I mean, I think that's the reality. If you look at the conference from top to bottom from a year ago, I think the conference is better. And I think that, EMU winning eight games so far, they're 8-11, and that's through 19 games. They got five games left in the regular season. You know, I think that's the most significant amount of wins they've had in the last few years. You look at Everest, I mean, they're on their own seven-game win streak right now, just looking at after, and that's coming off a four-game losing streak,
mm-hmm.
You know? So they've been able to bounce back, and part of that is scheduling. Part of that is you got to play well. It doesn't matter who you play. You still have to play the game well, and they are obviously playing well after beating Rapids 4-1 last week Thursday, and then they go to Marshfield tomorrow. But I think if you look at the conference, clearly you've got Spash at the top, and they're – they've been playing extremely well over this last couple week period, and obviously, you know, we want to be a part of that and maybe go the other direction with it. But they've been consistent. They're the number one team in the state. They're undefeated for a reason.
Part of the reason I asked about the conference first is because then I want to kind of piggyback that with the sectional, because obviously part of the deal with the hockey is you have to go in there and sell yourselves, and part of that selling is saying the conference is better. Obviously it's a little different nowadays because there's so many non-conference games and so many games within a sectional, but at the same time, in recent years we have not seen the Wisconsin Valley Conference have a top seed. And now when you look at things, and again, there's a lot to play for in the next few weeks before you actually get to that seeding situation, but you're in a situation where if your team continues to play like it has, if Stevens Point continues to play like it has, it could be a Wisconsin Valley Conference tilt to it. DC Everest, if they're able to find a way to get a signature win, because, you know, they still have some chances against teams like yourself and Stevens Point, that even, you know, the sense is that we've always seen a lot of 8-9 games for these DC Everest kind of teams. Maybe they can move up a little bit. Do you think that others are seeing that this conference is a little bit better than it's been?
Well, I think it's how we perform against the big rivers, because we do get the opportunity to play them a lot. And it's, you know, big rivers, Wisconsin Valley Conference, and Superior.
Yeah.
And you look at the way the Superior's built their schedule. They've tried to build, you know, to make sure they've sprinkled in some of those opponents too, so that they can be seeded appropriately and seeded well. I think that a lot of it has to do with how the teams do against the other conference. When you look at whoever their conference champion is going to be, how did the Valley teams do against them? And that kind of puts us in a slot, if you will, where and how to gauge things throughout, because we don't have all teams head to head. So you have to look at comparables. You have to look at common opponents. You got to look at score. I mean, and score is sometimes a little trivial because, you know, there's situations, there's power plays, there's penalty kills, there's injured players, there's different goalies. You know, those things get to be a little bit trivial. But the head to head part, obviously, in the seeding process is super important. And I value first common opponents. So if there isn't a head-to-head matchup, both of them have played a particular team, how did those games go? Were they both wins? Is there another common opponent? So you just have to, as a coach, you know, I said it on the Prep Hockey podcast, I don't ever want to go away from this.
Right.
Two reasons. One, I think we get it right. And two, I love the process as a coach to go in and defend your team and sell your team to why you should be a particular spot because you do the homework. You look at all the layers that it happens. I've got my huge spreadsheet that I go in and you figure those things out. I love that process. And I don't think you get that from the computer. You know, you could ask Nate when they come in, when he comes in. I don't think the seating's been right for them. Right. I just don't think the formula can work what humans can do face to face or at least through a Zoom call.
I remember back when Jeff Ruging was coaching the Warriors on the boys' side, and I remember did a game the night before they had their seating meeting. He showed this incredibly thick binder. I mean, the information that he had prepared for that meeting back when basketball still did the meetings, and you had to basically sell your team. It definitely it's very, very different. I think you're exactly right. I think that for the most part, because you do have, I mean, you can't really hide. You know, it's, I mean, if you're not straight with the other people, they can see it. I mean, you can try to, spin it any way you want, but I imagine that you can see through anybody that is kind of trying to spin, don't you?
Well, I mean, I'll say this. Our sectional, whether it was, when we had the old sectional of Eagle River and Lakeland and all them, to the new section now that we've gone two divisions, everybody's valued head-to-head. And I think regardless of, there's some anomalies out there when a team, gets a team later in the season that maybe they shouldn't have. And you just kind of, you go through the process of seeding that head-to-head is just the way that our group has gone. And part of that is doing your homework. And I think as long as all of the coaches do their homework, then the seeding process actually goes pretty smooth. In this process, there's challenges. There's different ways to finalize the seeding. But I think as a group, the coaches do a better job. When you look at the way other sports have gone with the computers and even I've gone to the point where with the Coaches Association, we go over and look at other places. How do they do it? Michigan has their own formula, and it's a very interesting formula. And some of the coaches love it, some of the coaches don't. I still think that if the Michigan coaches met, they'd get it right because they do their homework and they would figure it out, because it's a little bit different because there's three divisions over there versus our two here. But again, I will as long as I'm coaching, I think we should always do it either through Zoom or whatever. But as coaches, I'm not a fan of the formulas.
And the thing about your bracket now is that notice last night. I mean, there were still some games going despite some of the postponements, including your game, to see Hudson lose to New Richmond. And now those New Richmond and Hudson are atop the conference standings together, and they're both in your bracket because New Richmond was moved up in the success ratio. I mean, there's a lot still to play for. That makes it really interesting, and I do think that, again, it's going to be a lot of fun over the next couple weeks, even before the real fun begins with that massive bracket.
Well, and part of that, the process, too, is where is that team in the conference? Who's the conference champion? How do they perform in the conference? I mean, those are all things that as coaches you look at to see, okay, where do I fit? How do we get this right? I think in the end, I think everybody wants that, to make sure that the seeding is correct, because that gives us the best playoffs, that gives us the best opportunity to have the best teams at the state tournament and put on a really good show for the kids.
Absolutely. So there's still plenty of other interesting questions I want to ask you, because based on a couple things that you were talking about last night, I found very interesting that we're going to talk about a little bit later on in the program. But coming up in a minute, we're going to be joined by our student-athlete guest for this week, somebody that I'm sure keeps an eye on that bracket as well, and the Wisconsin Valley Conference. From the D.C. Everest Evergreens, their junior goaltender, Griffin Bunnell. We'll have Griffin Bunnell coming up. This is the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO. On Thursday night, it's a high school hockey showdown as the Wausau West Warriors, ranked number 6 in the state, travel to Stevens Point to take on the number 1 ranked Panthers. Hear all the exciting action live on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app, starting with a special early pregame at 6:35 and the opening faceoff at 7 p.m. Wausau West Hockey on 98.9 WXCO is brought to you by the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Red Robin Restaurants, Sun Printing, the Wausau West Athletic Department, Coast to Coast Marketing, and the Wausau West Hockey Booster Club. It's Wausau West at Stevens Point in high school hockey, Thursday night, starting at 6:35 on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And welcome back. Big High School Sports Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Tonight, joined by BJ Brandt as my normal co-host for the winter sports season, Jeff Gress. Some teaching duties over at Newman Catholic. But again, tonight we are flipping our student athlete and our coach guest because of some practice schedules. I'm very happy that our student athlete could join us a little early tonight from DC Everest Junior, Griffin Bunnell. Griffin, thank you for coming on by.
Yeah, thanks, Chad.
Absolutely. And number one, was talking to the coach about how his team has been doing pretty well recently, but your team has been doing very well recently as well. Seven wins in a row. As you look at where your team is right now, I imagine there's a lot of confidence going on over a little south of here.
Yeah, it's just absolutely great when we can get a good amount of wins going together, and especially at this time of year, it's good for us to go on that win streak, and as we're heading towards playoffs, mm-hmm. we can keep it going, hopefully, and it's just nice to have that confidence around this time of the year.
I'll talk more about this season in just a few moments, but I wanted to kind of go back because when I had Coach Vance Lyke on a couple of weeks ago, talked a little bit about the process, and you're part of that process where there were a lot of younger players that have kind of grown together, and going back the last two, three, and I mean even 4 years, I think a couple of your seniors were part of this growing process. I remember Thomas Passano was a freshman who was a very impressive freshman. Now he's already a senior. It feels like, you know, a snap of a finger. The process. There's obviously some growing pains. There were some seasons where it was maybe a little bit more difficult, but it does look like each of these steps has gone up. You've won more games. You've gone deeper in the playoffs. You had a good playoff win on the road last year. Could you talk about what the mindset was at the beginning? Because you started as a freshman. You have had a lot of experience in this growing. What has this process been like, and how good does it feel to see the fruits of a lot of hard work?
Yeah, so it's been interesting. So when I came in freshman year, we were a really young team. A lot of sophomores, mm-hmm. a lot of freshmen. And as we've progressed, I mean, we're 2 years into the process now. I'm a junior. We got some good seniors, and we're a bit of an older team, more mature team. And I think you see that through our record. We came in, we didn't really know what to expect, but I think we've developed really well, and we're going to continue to develop, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But it's turned out good, and I like where we're going. And if we can just keep up the hard work, I think it's going to turn into good things.
Got a question, BJ?
Yeah, I mean, talk about you're a goaltender. Talk about when you were a kid. Like, did you skate out? Did you? What made you decide that you wanted to stay in the net? And just talk about what the difference is, obviously, player goaltender as a youth kid.
Yeah, so early in youth, squirts, peewees, I did both. I'd skate out in half the games, and I played goalie. And then because Zach, also my age, we'd split goalie and we'd skate out too. But as we got older, got into Bantams, we'd switch off playing goalie, and we just sit on the bench as a goalie, so we became full-time in Bantam. So as you get older, you just kind of progress, and you learn that you like playing it. So we switch fully into it, and it's a lot different.
How much of it was you liked it, and how much of it was that you're good at it?
I mean, going into it as a little kid, I mean, I liked it. I just loved doing it, and I think that's what matters most, is that going into it, I just was like, I tried it a few times. I was like, man, I really like this, and I just wanted to keep doing it more and more.
How old were you when you first, number one, started playing hockey and first time you got all the pads on as a goaltender?
I've been skating since I was pretty little. I remember my dad got me out onto the ice as a little kid, and that's great. I'm happy he did that for me, and I really appreciate what he's done for me. But I played a little bit of goalie as I was a squirt, and I just kept playing more and more as I got older until we got to where we are now, and that's all I'm doing.
What's your favorite part about being a goaltender?
Honestly, I think that it's you have the ability to change the tides of the game, and it's a lot of responsibility, but I like that, and knowing that I can really help our team out, give us some energy, and I think when we all know that, we can all kind of like work together as a group, and it gives us a lot of energy. I like that I can do that for our team.
I remember you as a freshman, a very good goaltender. I mean, as a young player, you really came out and did a nice job very quickly at the varsity level, but at the same time, you've continued to take strides forward. How would you say, what would be the areas that you've most improved on since you first started as a varsity player up to the point you are right now?
I think that just going into it as a freshman, you're not 100% sure what to expect. I mean, it's a big jump to come into high school hockey and to start playing right away. And, I mean, I think starting off, I just wasn't super confident. I would always be super nervous going into games, and I just didn't really know how to handle that. But as I've gotten older these next 2 years, I just became more confident, and I know that I'm capable of doing the best I can be on the ice. And I think just that's something that's helped me a lot is maturity throughout these past few years.
We're talking to Griffin Bunnell, goaltender for the D.C. Everest Evergreens, our student-athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction here on 98.9 WXCO. You mentioned your goaltending compatriot, Zach May, right?
Yes.
Zach May. And the thing is, he's done a really nice job and he's had opportunities.
Yeah.
What's it like when you have, you know, two guys that we've talked about this in the past where it's, you can't switch lines. You're out there. Mm-hmm. And obviously you've had a wonderful almost three years. What's it like, having a really good, I apologize if Zach doesn't want to be called the backup, but at the same time, the other goaltender. Because what's the relationship like between goaltenders?
I think it's really great, and having both of us there, and we're both very capable of playing at a high level, which is great. Not even just for us, but for coaches too. They know that whoever's in the net, we got a good chance. And I think the best part about it is that we really just push each other to get better. And since we're both so good, so competitive, in my opinion, that we can just push each other, and I think it's great that we can have that kind of competition, but friendly competition. But like at the end of the day, it improves both of us, and I think that's great that we can both go in the net and we're both know we're capable of playing at that high level.
So with goalie, you know, sometimes when kids are hockey goalies, they play other sports, but they typically trend to not play like catcher, or maybe sometimes they do, or goalie in lacrosse. What other sports do you play, and what's your role in those sports?
So right now I play golf in the spring, so I mean that is what it is. But I did play baseball in youth, and I was a catcher, which is funny. But yeah, so I did that, but then they're both in the spring, and I decided I kind of wanted to stick with golf. I really like it. So
nothing wrong with it. I tell you, it's amazing the number of student athletes that come in here that after a long winter sports season, that in a sense, and again, it's nothing, and I know golf coaches probably just say, oh, no, it doesn't seem as intense.
And it's not.
And,
no.
And after a long, intense winter, and the winter sports season does seem to go very long, mm-hmm. I imagine it, number one, it's just nice to get out of a ice rink after a while. And number two, again, maybe a chance for a little bit of a mental break, because I know that anybody that is at the level that you are in terms of your hockey, there's a lot outside the season as well. Do you use it as maybe a chance to be competitive, but yet not maybe at the same level where you are able to take maybe a tinge of a mental break?
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought it's great to just, I think no matter what it is, like hockey, but all things involved, sometimes you just need a break from whatever you're doing. Like not just hockey, I think with everything. So it's nice to get that little break in. And of course, we still have summer practices. We still have summer lifting, fall practices and all that, which I think is great. It gives us a good tune-up. But I know I like playing golf in the spring. And
how good are you? How good are you?
I'm all right. I'm not the best, not the worst. So I'll take it, I guess.
Well, Chad, in the spring, the golf season is like a spring hockey season because there's a lot of guys throughout the Valley Conference that play golf.
Oh, yeah.
So they compete against each other in the arena and the rink in the winter, and then they're playing golf with each other because the way it works in the golf world is you play with kids from other schools. You don't play with your teammates, so you get to know other kids like outside of the rink. Like, that's one of the things when I was coaching golf, I coached with Matt Johnson for a lot of years.
And
I just it was fun to watch kids who competed against each other in the winter season, whether it was basketball or hockey, and then come together and get to know each other a little bit. Because you got to play golf. That's 9 holes, 18 holes. Like, you get to know somebody a little bit as you play, as you go from match to match to match.
Very interesting. I forgot you had coached that, so I wasn't being slightly on you and Matt, definitely for the golf coaching. Are you involved in the outside season hockey? What's your hockey like outside of the high school season?
Yeah, so obviously we have those team practices, but I also do Wheel in the fall, which is Wisconsin Elite Hockey League. It's just like a fall league that comes from 6 different regions of the state, I believe. And they put together a team and you just play against each other, and it's good competition. It's good to help tune up for the season. And I know a lot of guys that do it around here. So I think that's a good way to stay tuned up for the season.
Yeah, talk about that, though, because in that moment, too, you get to play with guys from other teams. Like, our region, Chad, is Region 2, which spans all the way from Eagle River down to Rapids. So that's kind of the pool of kids. Mm-hmm. Talk about what that's like to play with those guys and then, you know, come November, get to play against them.
Yeah, so actually a lot of that Wheel team is from Wisconsin Valley. So it's a lot of us just combined together in the same team, which is super interesting because we play each other twice a year during the regular season, and it's super high compete level, and we love to beat each other then. But you come together, you get to know the guys a little better, and you get to know them off the ice, and you can still not like them when you're playing them in the regular season, but then you get to learn that they're great guys and you love playing with them, and it's just a super good experience.
And it gives you something to, when you stuff somebody during the regular season, if you know them, it's even better, isn't it?
Yeah, you get to have a good laugh out there. Yeah, it's fun.
Stepping away again from the ice for a moment, what's your favorite class in school?
Oh, man. Well, we just started the new semester, but I love finance class. It's probably my favorite class.
Seems like good to be involved in numbers for your goaltender. A lot of numbers involved.
Yeah.
Are you involved in DECA?
I do DECA. I would say I'm a little more involved in FBLA, but I do some of the DECA competitions.
I want to ask you, because you said finance, and I've never said this on the air. When I went to Everest, I was in DECA, and we went to a state competition, and I won a finance and credit state championship. Nobody knew that. I have actually done something. I don't just talk about it.
We're learning new things.
I know. This is good. It's nice, because since you go to Everest, and I went to Everest, and again, I don't say that very often when I'm around you, but I know that you still have plenty of time left, you know, before you graduate, but are you hoping to continue your education along with athletics at the next level?
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, it's hard to know what's in store for the future, and I'm kind of just playing it by ear, and, you know, if an opportunity arises itself, that'd be great, but I'm kind of just starting to think about what I want to do after high school and what's the right path for me. But if an opportunity arises, it arises. So I'm kind of just playing it by ear.
Have you ever had a dream of a certain job? And it can be with the skates on. Do you have dreams of hockey glory? Do you have dreams of maybe some other profession that would interest you being in the future?
I mean, I love business. So like that route, I would like to do something business-wise. But also, it'd be great to keep the skates on at a higher level. But again, it's hard to know what's in store for you, and I'm kind of just waiting for the opportunity to arise itself.
Well, talk a little bit about the balance, because obviously the winter season is hard. How do you balance the academics, the athletics, and the social life? Because you guys have friends and you want to be places. How do you balance that?
I'd say I like to just keep school at school. I try to get all my work done. You got study halls, you got ELTs, where you just have time to work on homework. So I've gotten better at just trying to balance that all at school, so I have time just for hockey. Like, if we have a game, it's hard to do homework on a game night, especially if you're far away from home.
Buses are not conducive to homework?
No, not a lot of bouncing while you're driving. But yeah, I just try and keep that all at school. If I can get it done at school, that's great. And then it leaves me more time to help do stuff with my friends. And we have practice, obviously. But as I've gone, it was hard as I was a younger high school kid. But as I've gotten older, I've kind of got a better balance and feel for balancing all that stuff. So.
Again, we're talking to Griffin Bunnell from the DC Everest Evergreens, our student athlete guest this week on the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction. This season, Griffin's doing pretty darn good. 11-3 record, goals against average of 1.72, 937 save percentage, 3 shutouts. Let's talk a little bit about your team because obviously you got a pretty good viewpoint of what's going on the ice between the pipes. Talk about maybe some of the other guys who are leaders on your team. Who have been some of the key cogs, whether on the forward line or the defense, that's helped DC Everest off to such a good start this year?
Yeah, obviously I think we got some great skaters because I love to see those statistics of mine, but it all comes from what they do for me, and they help me out tremendously. I really like what our defense are doing. We got a super mature group of defensemen, 3 juniors, 3 seniors. They've been great. They all do their job every time they're on the ice, and then obviously we got some goal scorers too, where we've been able to bury the puck, which helps a lot. Obviously you got Thomas. He's really been doing good. Cole, he's been standing out this year, so not even them, but everyone on the team has their roles, and they all do their jobs great when they're on the ice, which I love to watch. I mean, it's just so fun to watch when everyone's doing what they're supposed to. And I think we've done a great job of that this year.
Going back real fast, but I want to go back to a game last year in the playoffs when you went on the road and won in overtime at Hobbs.
Regular time.
Right at the end. You're right. Sometimes I got that confused and mentioned that the coach as well. But what did that mean? To take that step in the playoffs, to go on the bus, go to Eau Claire, win that hockey game. Obviously, the next one was a hard one, but against a team that ultimately made it to the state tournament, so obviously a very good hockey team. But for a group that, as I said earlier, had been growing, what did that win mean?
It was probably one of the greatest feelings all year, I mean, for all of us. It's been not even well since we were in high school, but it's been a little bit since we've won a playoff game till that year. And so it was just great to get that feeling, and I think we played really well. We had a super good team game all around, and Eau Claire North, they were pretty good. So it was super good for us to go in there and get a win. It felt great for all of us. I think it boosted our confidence. So that was super nice to go in there and get a good team win.
What's your favorite goal lead or your least favorite goal lead? Because as a goalie, like obviously – The bigger the better for you. You get to relax a little bit. But like obviously most games are tight. Where do you feel most comfortable when your team's in the lead?
I mean, obviously it's better if we can be up by more, but I like playing under those pressure situations. So even if we're only up by one, I'd love to be up by more, but we're doing the best that we can. And I don't know. Anytime we can be playing up is good. So I like that.
What area do you yourself and the team as a whole have to take steps forward the rest of this season as you get towards, you're still right in the mix in the Valley, and of course the playoffs coming. What are the areas, number one, for yourself and number two for your team that you have to be better at in order to continue to take those strides?
Well, I think this goes for me and all of us. I think it's just staying calm. I mean, we're going to play some good teams coming up, West and Spash, and we're just going to have to stay calm, and we might get scored on, and it is what it is, but we just got to keep rallying back. And I think the most important part is we got to feed off each other's energy. And if we can have more energy, I think that's going to help us tremendously in this stretch.
I've been preparing for my broadcast tomorrow night with West and Stevens Point, and I was looking at Stevens Point, a lot of their numbers. And the lowest number of goals they scored this season was against Everest, the 3-0 game that you guys played earlier. What was the key for Everest to hold a team that's been getting double-figure goals a number of times? What was the key that night to holding Stevens Point to 3?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're a super good team, number one in the state, undefeated. But I think the key was we played a super good defensive zone. I mean, the first period we kept a lot of their shots to the outside, which was super good. And I was like, wow, you guys are playing really good. I was like super proud of our defense. It felt great to watch them play like that, and I was like, I just thought we played super good in the defensive zone. They're fast. They're the fastest team we've probably played against, but they move the puck so well, and we were able to hold our own in the defensive zone, and so I thought that was really good.
And you had that game, and then the Marathon Cup game against West, 4-2. So again, another tight game. Do you feel like your team is close, that you do have an opportunity with the second go around? And again, you don't have to listen to when he talks about West, but you know, you got Stevens Point coming to Green Heck Turner. You guys go over to Marathon Park. Do you feel like your team is close and can, if you put it together, be able to win those games?
I think that we're at the level where we can compete with anyone, and obviously those are two super solid teams that we play coming up, but I think that if we just do our jobs and do our roles and we know what we're good at, that any given night anything can happen. I always say that. I was like, you know, anything can happen any given night, and I try and keep that mentality.
You sound like a coach. Way too much like a coach. Do you have a favorite rival? Is there a game that you know gets the juice going?
I always just feel a little fire when I go out and play every night, but obviously there's a few. I mean, in the Valley, it's always a good competition, and yeah. I don't know, a lot of those games, you just want to go out and win, and you got that fire.
So that sounds like a coach, too. They're all the same.
I'm sitting here. I think it makes it a little bit different. So we'll go off the high school topic. So goaltenders always seem to have, like, a favorite NHL or college goalie that they model after. Who's your person? Who do you like as an NHL goalie that you're like, I really admire that guy for how he plays?
I've always loved Marc-Andre Fleury.
I knew you were going to say that.
Since I was a kid.
This reminds me of, like, MAF, you know?
His play style, I admire that. He makes saves that you didn't think were possible, so I just think that's super cool, and I've always loved what he's done, so he's my favorite. And then college level, I've been watching Trey Augustine for Michigan State, and obviously he played on the USA World Junior team, so those are probably my two.
What's your favorite NHL team?
The Islanders.
The Islanders?
Yeah.
That was unexpected.
That was unexpected. Why the Isles?
Well, so I used to be a Minnesota fan when I was a little kid, and then for whatever reason I loved Cal Clutterbuck, one of their players, and he moved to the Islanders when I was like 9 years old, so I switched over. But since I've got there, like, I really like Ilya Sorokin. He's their goalie, so I've kind of just fallen in love with the...
That's actually interesting team. Because when I was a kid, my favorite team was the Rangers, and then John Van Beesbrook left for Florida, and then they became my favorite team.
Yep.
So again, if you have a favorite player and he goes off somewhere else, it's not just about the laundry. It's about the people in the jersey. I think that's actually a good thing.
Well, mine was the North Stars, and then they moved to Dallas.
You can't go to Dallas.
And I couldn't follow with them. And then when we had kids, we picked... Austin Matthews was drafted by the Toronto Maple Leafs. So we, as a family, we decided we're going to cheer for the Maple Leafs. So it's not a great time to always be a Maple Leafs fan, but that's the team we root for in our house.
It makes it worthwhile when your team does win, and for the Isles when they got a legendary goaltender as their coach now, so Patrick Waugh. So as in our final few minutes, I guess before I get towards my end, anything else you wanted to ask, because we're getting towards the end.
No, I mean, you could talk just a little bit about, like, Chad mentioned the process that you've gone through from a freshman to a junior. What obviously size as a goaltender, you've grown a lot over those couple of years. Where do you feel you've improved the most in those 2 years, just in your skill set as a goalie?
Well, I mean, every day at practice, we have an alumni from 2019, I believe it was, came back, and he's now the goalie coach. He's been trying super hard to learn it, and he's done a great job, and so every day we're just working on positioning and getting our angles down, because you got to be in the right spot. And so I feel like I've improved tremendously on that, getting in the right spot, and I think that just my movements have crisped up a lot and my angles have gotten a lot better. And I can honestly say that for every goalie that's in our goalie room, I think that we've all gotten so much better at positioning, and it's just super nice that he came back and helped us out with that.
Is this an exciting time of year? I mean, because as I said earlier, the winter sports season, whether it's basketball, whether it's wrestling, whether it's hockey, it's a long season. You have to go, basically you start before Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving weekend's usually a kind of a kickoff, and then you go through the holidays, and you go through the dog days of winter. As you get to the middle part of January, you can kind of see the playoffs in the horizon. Do you feel it? Does it start to build?
Yeah, I mean, as you get closer to playoffs, and I'm sure it'll grow in the next few weeks, you just get a little more excited, because those are the games that matter most. I mean, all games matter, but when it comes time for playoffs, you really want to win, and it just gives you that extra push. So I think it's it's super exciting going into playoffs. And I mean, I just want to imagine what the seniors are feeling. I mean, no, it's going to be their last ride. They're going to get a huge burst of energy. Mm-hmm. So I think that this, as we just get closer and closer to playoffs, the energy gets growing, which is really good.
Does winning breed winning? Have you felt that in this stretch?
Yeah, I think we like feed off a lot of energy. Like as we get wins and wins, like that, obviously the energy is going to be higher in the mm-hmm. locker room after a win than a loss. And I think just when you have a lot of winning going on, it's nice to get some energy moving. We hope to use that going forward in our upcoming games.
Anything else you want to ask Griffin before I give my final question?
No, they've got a heck of a stretch here. They got six games, and obviously wish them the best of the luck, and we'll see them in February.
Enjoy Marshfield.
All right.
That's one of my least favorite places to go.
Might be a little chilly, but always, we're ready for it.
It wasn't as cold this year.
That's
know?
Good.
I know. It was like weird. I don't know. So Marshfield and Mosinee, those are the two worst. But I know we normally ask this question to a senior, but you've had experience. You know, you're a 3-year varsity player. You played it's really amazing how many games you already played, how many minutes you've had between the pipes. Based on what you've learned, what piece of advice would you give a freshman just coming into the DC Evers program that you've learned over the last 2.5 years as a member of the Evergreen Varsity?
Well, one thing I'd tell them just going forward is that confidence is the most important thing when you're in the net, because coming in as a freshman, it's the most nerve-wracking thing you ever... And even, like, it doesn't really matter, but when you make that first start, it's the most nerve-wracking thing you've ever done. And so I'd just say, you know, be confident, you're capable of what you're doing, and we've practiced for this forever, so I think that's important. But also I'd say, I can't believe my junior season's already winding down, and it feels like it's flown by. And just to think about that, I'm trying not to think about it, but just to think after this year I only have one more left is crazy, so just enjoy every moment while you have it.
I'm going to give you some scary little piece of experience that will you
welcome to the special live coverage of the State of the State Address on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. Governor Tony Evers is set to share his priorities for Wisconsin in 2025.
Todd Albaugh, host of the Todd Albaugh Show, along with Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, will guide you through the remarks. You'll also hear from Dan Schaefer with analysis of what the governor's plans mean for you, along with the Republicans' response to it.
Now, your special live coverage of the governor's State of the State Address from the state capitol in Madison. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
And good evening, everyone. Todd Albaugh here at the world headquarters of Civic Media News, just a block away here on State Street from Wisconsin's state capitol, where in moments, Governor Tony Evers will deliver his 7th State of the State Address. We are proud to bring it to you here live across the Civic Media Radio Network, all 11 stations. If you want to tune in for Pete Schwabe, his program continues online. We hope you stay with us. And joining me as co-anchor tonight, the wonderful host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network, Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow, good evening to you, my friend. You bring a unique perspective. Not only are you a longtime journalist and political observer, you also spend a term in the Wisconsin State Senate. Tell us, Pat, what can we expect tonight in the Capitol?
Sore knees from standing up and sitting down, standing up and sitting down. I remember that from Jim Doyle being governor. Not so much of that exercise on the Republican side tonight. If the usual pattern fits, the governor will propose many things. He will try to get some bipartisan reaction to the ideal of something like kids should be able to, you know, not go hungry, maybe not get the applause if he calls for free school lunches and breakfasts for all kids. It's going to break down like that for a host of different issues. So he'll talk to two different audiences today, the legislators and the general public, and then he'll hit the road tomorrow to do more of talking to the public and local media.
We have an entire team of Civic Media News around the state of Wisconsin, and bringing in our political editor, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. Dan, pleasure to have you with us this evening as well. Help us recombobulate. You've watched this better than anybody else. These new maps that people voted on in November may well play at least a theme behind the scenes of how Governor Evers approaches this speech.
Yeah, I think to me, this is one of the big questions going into this year in state budget conversations in Madison. How will the new margins that came from the new maps impact governing? Because Republicans are no longer at a near supermajority level in the state legislature, how will that play out exactly when we talk about proposals for the state budget? Earlier today, the governor released a number of excerpts from his speech focusing on certain priorities, taxes, workforce, and the economy being one, mental health being another, child safety, child care. So those seem like some of the top priority issues he's going to want to get to in this speech to kind of lead into the budget process that we'll be looking ahead to. I think back to a couple years ago when Tony Evers delivered a speech in 2023 talking about the need to really address the state's shared revenue formula. That became a hot topic in the budget then. It'll be interesting to see if he highlights any particular topics, you know, in the weeds along those lines this year as we look ahead to the budget process here in 2025.
This is largely Democratic Governor Tony Evers' evening, but there will be a Republican response afterward. Civic Media will cover that as well, bring that to you live. And our Northwest Wisconsin Bureau Chief James Kelly is following that from our headquarters in Chippewa Falls. James, good evening to you. What do you expect Republicans to say tonight?
Good evening. There's definitely a few things I'm expecting and a few things I'm on the lookout for. The name of the game for state Republicans is tax cuts and cutting spending this year. Wisconsin ended the fiscal year with an over $4.5 billion budget surplus, and there are some disagreements on how to use it. I expect Republicans to reiterate their calls for returning that money to the taxpayers. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu have called for a tax cut of $2 billion already. We could see some criticisms of state spending on things like the newly created Office of Violence Prevention. This session features the newly formed Government Operations Accountability and Transparency Committee, which is essentially a state-level replication of the new Department of Government Efficiency on the federal level. Speaker Voss says the committee's focused on its renewed goal of identifying and addressing government inefficiencies, which could include things like remote work for state employees or administrative services in school. Could see some talk on expanding school choice, or even back and forth over the Joint Finance Committee's apparent unwillingness to release approved funding for things like PFAS contamination and hospitals out here in the Chippewa Valley after line item vetoes by Governor Evers.
Sounds good. You'll be watching that for us, and James, we'll come back to you in a minute, but I want to go also now to our Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale. Lisa, good evening to you. You are going to be watching and talking a little bit about what Democrats released earlier this week and what they hope to accomplish as a legislature.
That's right. Last week, they released a package of three bills, the Democrats did, that they are really focusing on this year. And they are bills to reduce costs for families, for senior citizens, and for those who are low income. Specifically, it is one that is called the Healthy School Meals for All, which Pat mentioned a little bit earlier. It's free breakfast and lunch for all school children, not just those deemed to be underserved, but all school children. They actually think that that will reduce a lot of money when it comes to administering the program for school lunches, because they won't have to keep track of who makes what and all of that. The other bills were an extension of the homestead tax credit, which would be to $35,000 of income, a tax credit for your property taxes. And then finally, the Less for Rx agenda, which would put a cap on some medications, such as insulin, at $50 for all people in the state of Wisconsin, not just seniors or whatever. So they're all looking at reducing costs for working families.
We appreciate your great work, both Lisa and James, and following those issues. We'll check in with you throughout the evening. Pat Kreitlow, I want to go back to you. These evenings, look, as a guy who worked in the legislature and never got elected like you did, Pat, but worked for a legislator for a long time, this is a lot about pomp and circumstance, if you're into that, which, of course, I am. Senators sit along the aisle, and as a former state senator yourself, you know, it's kind of a big deal. The sergeant-at-arms from the assembly comes over, and you all walk from the Senate chamber to the Senate. There's a big hoopla when they get introduced. The senators come down, sit there, members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There's some pomp and circumstance to this as well.
Well, sure. There's tradition there. There's a little bit of ceremony, and there's what you would call the quaintness of political norms that are still followed in some circles today, even if not in all of them, where you have a governor who is universally opposed by the majority in the legislature. That still gives him a warm welcome. Doesn't mean they applaud everything that he says, but he comes in and it tries not to become a political rally. But there will be some politics put into all that pomp and circumstance. Governor Evers isn't just speaking to all the legislators and the general public. He's going to speak specifically to what you'd call those swing district Republicans who got in by narrow majorities with the new maps. They don't want to go home in 2026 and say they didn't do anything because Robin Voss didn't want them to do anything. So Governor Evers is going to try to put pressure on them to pass some of these things, like the Healthy School Meals Bill.
Yeah. Watch your live feed right now. We're going to bring this to you live as soon as the governor gets to the dais there and starts. As Pat said, there's some pomp and circumstance. It appears right now that the assembly is waiting for the senators to get to the chamber and take their seats and walk in, and the governor will walk in behind them while we wait for the speech to actually start. Dan Schaefer, I want to go back to you for a moment. We talked this with Pat and Trigvi Olsen on our show a little bit earlier today. Look, we hope that we are proud to bring this speech to our listeners across the state. We think it's important, an important public service. But let's not kid ourselves. Tony Evers is not exactly, and this is no slight to him, not everybody is, not exactly a sexy political speech. This isn't going to be a rousing speech. But to Pat's point, this speech really isn't the news, what he says, the headlines tomorrow, and what people